What is going on, guys? I'm here with another episode of the Journey to Success podcast. My name is JJ Dirksen, and I'm here with Shane Conrad, also known as the Tax God, the Facebook Ad God, and a eight-figure entrepreneur who I think he cleared, what, like $10 million in profit this last year? $10
million? In Facebook or in general?
In general, in profit.
It was in that range, yeah. Wow. Every time how much you summon you make, but it was
That's awesome, man. That's awesome. So I'm really glad I got you on here. I know, first off, I'm really thankful for all the help you've given me over these past few months with just, you know, over Instagram DMs and just being able to communicate with you and be able to ask you for help whenever I need to. So, you know, I'm really happy to get you on, and, you know, also glad I got to meet you two, 3 weeks ago down in LA. So, I mean, if we could just start this off by you going a little bit in depth on, you know, who you are, what your story is, and, you know, what you're currently doing right now, you know, just to enlighten maybe the one or two people who live under a rock with no Wi-Fi and who have no clue who you are.
Yeah, sure. For one or 200, maybe. So as you said, you know, I'm Shane Conrad, Instagram handle, Jet Set Conrad. Pretty much all my handles are Jet Set Conrad, so I keep it simple and consistent. Essentially, I am not the 14-year-old, 15-year-old entrepreneur that grew up being an entrepreneur. I am the exact opposite. So I did the 9-to-5. I did the typical 9-to-5 thing. I thought corporate is the way to grow up. That's where most of my family came from, was good corporate jobs. I was like, I need to be CEO. That is success. There's a few outliers, Richard Branson, blah, 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 people I looked up to. And so anyways, that was kind of my path. Now, with 9-to-5 jobs, no matter what I did, I was always trying to be the best. So when you look at even like Starbucks, like I worked for Starbucks. I was the youngest district manager in the company's history. And because for me, if I was going to do a corporate job, I wanted to be the best. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't so much about beating anyone else. It was just being my best. And so anyways, I did that for a while until a friend offered me an investment opportunity with the drink company. I ended up jumping into that a couple of years later, ended up selling that for a good amount of profit. That's where I actually saw one of my buddies was starting to promote a course, and he just posted some articles and stuff like that where he did about $25 million in Shopify sales. And this was 2013, maybe 2014. And I was like, damn. So I reached out to him. I asked him about it. He goes, yeah, man, it's just like, it's basically what the big companies do, right? You're the middleman moving product. And so I bought his course. I tried it and I failed miserably. Now, I lost a lot of money. I lost over $10,000. And it's funny because every guru, everybody says, oh, when I started, I lost over $10,000. I did this before most of them were out of high school. So I feel like I'm one of the first people that lost $10,000. Not that that's something to be proud of, but there were only like two people teaching courses when I started. And so there wasn't a lot of information out there. So anyways, I did that. I ended up making a deal with him where if I got him to have an influencer, pretty big name out there, not really supposed to talk about the details of the deals, but you definitely know him if you have been online or on YouTube or anything. Basically, in exchange for getting his course out to this guy to promote, he would teach me firsthand a lot of details. And so I was able to do that. He was able to teach me a lot about Facebook and Shopify. Instagram wasn't as big at the time, and at least I didn't know about it. And so started doing that, ended up doing okay. You know, okay, it was like I made 30 bucks. I was excited, even though I, you know, made much more in other deals. And as that continued on.
Wow. Okay. So, I mean, that pretty much answers all my questions. So I guess we'll wrap this up. We'll see you tomorrow.
Great. Great talking to you. Thank you.
Okay. So as you said, you left the corporate 9-to-5 job working at Starbucks to pursue this, you know, investing into this drink company. That's a big, like kind of a big step that a lot of people wouldn't take. So what, you know, encouraged you to take that step, take that leap of faith when you were leaving behind the safety and security of, you know, working at Starbucks?
So, you know, the job I had at the time, I actually didn't leave the safety and security of it. I kept it because I was on that edge of being afraid. And really, it was a couple of things. So I look back at my past and I told somebody, oh, you know, I don't know if this is something for me. Like I'm the guy that can take things, fix them, but I'm not the guy that starts things. And he goes, yeah, you are. And he told me about my experience in second grade. He told me about my experience in fourth grade, where like second grade, I was making these, like with my friend, would make these little like things out of cotton balls that were like different Nintendo characters, and we would sell them. In fourth grade, we made mechanical pencils into pencil shooters where they shot staples. And until the police came in and threatened to suspend us all, like we made those and we sold those, right? So there's, he was like, you've always kind of had that in you. It's just different. And, you know, I kind of thought about the corporate way and the risk that goes with it. And I kind of thought, you know, all these people I look up to all started their own company. Even CEO of Starbucks, right? All these people, like they all started their own company at some point. And it reminded me of a conversation I had when I was with a group of friends when I was like 12, maybe 13. And we're all sitting there talking about cars. And we're talking about Lamborghinis and Ferraris and, you know, McLaren and all these things. And one of my friends goes, ah, who are we kidding? We're never going to have those cars.
Yeah, man, that's definitely something I could really relate to with the cars and telling people what you want to own and what age you want to own it by. Like saying, I want to own a Jaguar F-Type by the time I'm 20. You just get your face laughed in. So, you know, I could totally relate to that. Now, going back to where you said you talked about how you used to sell stuff in class that you would make from a really young age. So it sounds like you really had that entrepreneurship kind of spirit. So do you think that's necessary for somebody who wants to grow up and be a business owner? Do you think that kind of spirit and that mentality from young age is necessary?
I think anyone can be an entrepreneur, but it isn't for everybody. And it's not going to bring them happiness, right? At some point, not everyone could be an entrepreneur because entrepreneurs need to scale and have people that work for them. And if everyone's an entrepreneur, they're never going to have that. So I think there's a difference between being an entrepreneur and promoting an entrepreneur mindset. Mm-hmm. Am I glad that all of my employees that work for me are not entrepreneurs? Yes, because I need employees. But that being said, one of the big things within any culture of company that I build, even when I hire outsourcing in India, right, to run like basic stuff, I promote the entrepreneur mindset and just try to help them explore that or teach it a little bit to think outside the box about things. I remember even my friends were like, oh, I don't know what to do. And I'm like, just steal an idea, right? I remember in, I think it was sixth grade or something like that, we had to go, and most people had to do this in school, I think, like sell the candy bars.
Yeah.
And I remember we were done selling candy bars. I was like, this is a good business model. So I told my friend, and my friend's like, I'm not that. And I'm all, well, we just finished selling candy bars.
That's funny, man. I remember a few months ago, it was coming up for the X-Commerce event in the Bay Area. And I really, really wanted to go, but I didn't have exactly enough money for it. And I DM'd you on Instagram, like, bro, I need some advice. I have like 1 week to raise $600. What can I do? Because I obviously wasn't making, you know, the amounts that I wanted to at that time. I definitely wasn't making that much. And you told me to, was it sell candy bars door to door? Just say you're raising money for school. That's what you do when you're little. So I actually never tried it out, but it sounds like it's a good. So going into one more just question about your background and who you are, I'm sure a lot of people are really curious as to what you actually do. I mean, I know we brushed up on it a little earlier about angel investing, Facebook ads, Shopify, but you know, I know you're kind of a really diversified guy. So if you don't mind just brushing up on what you do, like everything that you're doing and how you're diversified right now.
I'm extremely diversified. And so I can't talk about all the businesses I have. And frankly, I don't. But it is all over the place. So I do have one Shopify store that I'm still running. I'll probably open up another one, that's holiday wise because it is pretty easy income and for little work, I just need to grind all night and open it and I'll be good. So right now it's just one Shopify store. And I also really run that, not even so much for the income, but more so that way I keep up with everything because I do talk to a lot of people about Instagram. I talk to a lot of people about marketing and Shopify and Facebook. And the last thing I want to do is be the guy that talks about it, but says, oh, I haven't ran a store in a year, right? That's not who I want to be. And so really I run it so that way I can practice what I'm preaching and it keeps my skills up. Beyond that, I have a consulting company, which is probably my biggest income, bringer income, and work with a lot of really big clients with that. And then,
That's awesome. That's a real, really, really, really diversified income. I mean, a lot of people I know, they say they're diversified, but by diversified, they mean maybe like 10 Shopify stores, maybe some affiliate marketing, and maybe some consulting on the side. Nothing that's really a big mixture of, you know, consulting, drop shipping, physical businesses as well. And you don't really see that too often these days with the younger entrepreneur crowd. So we'll dive into Shopify in just like a minute or so. But before that, I just wanted to ask a question about, you know, your Krav Maga school. I know you've told me in the past you're really passionate about fighting and you love fighting. Do you think that having that passion, having that love for a certain industry or a certain topic in business is necessary in order to, you know, keep your business thriving in order to start up?
It's I wouldn't say it's 100% necessary because there are plenty of people that started businesses that are like, I never thought I'd end up in this business. and they develop a passion for it, whether it's the money or something else. And there's plenty of people that have success in it. I don't think it's necessary to see success, but it is necessary to sustain and remain happy. You know, it's like going to a job you hate every day. It's the same thing. You know, if you hate your company or you hate what you're doing or you don't enjoy it, even if it's making you money, you're going to be miserable. And
okay, for sure, for sure. So going into just one last question about your background and, you know, who you are, just one last one. Did you actually go to college?
I did.
Okay, so I did. I know that's kind of a hot topic right now, and a lot of people are debating the pros and cons about it and whether or not someone who has an entrepreneurship spirit should go. What's your opinion on that? How do you feel about that?
So I firmly believe the college system is broken. And it's not tremendously it depends on what college you go to, of course, right? So if you go to a higher income prestigious college, like, you're going to get a better education than obviously if you went to a not prestigious college. And it's going to be more relevant and people with more experience. Are there classes? Are there professors teaching things that they haven't done or don't know a lot about? Of course. Is that in all schools? No. My biggest issue with college more comes around the financing and the financial structure that is associated with college right now, and the way that it puts people in the debt. And anyways, we don't have 3 hours to go into it, but a lot of what the big banks do and whatnot is not right for our country and for the students and things like that. And that being said, I don't necessarily have a problem with college. I don't think it's required, but it also goes to what I said earlier too. Not everyone is meant to be an entrepreneur. Some people, we need doctors, we need lawyers, we need people that are studying history and things like that. And college is huge for all of that. And I think education's important too. Do I need geometry? No. Have I used calculus since I've left, and has it helped me make any money? No, it hasn't. Has history, learning about history? Hell yeah, it does. You know, being able to have those conversations. So I don't think college is necessarily a bad thing, but if you want to be an entrepreneur, it's definitely not required.
I totally agree with that, especially the calculus part. I got to go do or study for a test right after this. So, you were talking a little bit about finance. I know you're really knowledgeable in like the finance and the legality side of business. Where did that all come from? Because I know you always give me a lot of advice whenever I DM you about it.
So for me, it's always been about reading and kind of learning about finances. You know, my parents were not the most it wasn't that they're frivolous or anything, but they weren't the most financially responsible. And I always noticed that, and I always wanted to make sure I was handling money responsibly. And even like when I was a kid, man, when I was like 9 or 10 years old, I was reading law books, and because I just wanted to know. I wanted to be able to protect myself. Same thing with Krav Maga, right? I wanted to be able to protect myself and or do stupid stuff and be okay. And same thing with financials, right? So I read a lot of books. I really got into it. The biggest thing that I think I did was I got certified as a financial planner. I hired a tax accountant. That was actually, he owns his own tax company now, but he was a federal prosecutor for the IRS. And the reason I love this guy, I mean, one, it's a scary title and he did some, you know, the intense guy with the IRS to begin with, but also he teaches me as he goes. So when he's telling me how to do things or, hey, this is what we're going to do, here's the upside, here's the risk. He also goes through and says, here's why we're going to do it. Here's how I do it. Here's blah, blah, blah about the taxes. And I think that all kind of helps me because I'm learning as I'm able to also save money and save on taxes and whatnot. So I'm always asking why with any time I talk to somebody about money, trying to learn more.
Okay. And then how important do you think it is for somebody to learn about the financial and the money side of things when they're going to start or own a business?
It's huge. It definitely is. If you're not going to learn about it, like anything else, if you're not good at something, you better outsource it and find somebody. You know, I think too many people go through the notion even of, actually, even a lot of friends that I have, right? They go through the notion of, I make so much money that it doesn't matter. I'll tell you, getting audited by the IRS, if you're semi-okay, it's not as scary as it seems, but if you're hiding something like it, or if you screwed up or you forgot to do something like that, that bill and how they're going to hammer you is probably the scariest thing in the world. And, you know, you can even look, money isn't going to save you at the end of the day. You look at the NFL players and these other folks that make millions and millions and sometimes hundreds of millions, right? And they go on retirement for 3 to 5 years and suddenly they're in debt and they're declaring bankruptcy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's definitely true, especially with the oncoming trend. Like a lot of NBA players, they don't have much and they just blow that money as soon as they get that $10 million check and then they're working a corporate job after they retire or they tear their ACL. And then like, who's it? Johnny Depp's going bankrupt right now after spending $200,000 on wine a month. Now he's going bankrupt. And then moving over to the Shopify like side of things, You talked earlier about how you lost $10,000 in your first month or first little bit of Shopify. What kind of advice would you give somebody who, started it, failed, lost most of their capital startup? And what kind of advice would you give them if they want to, get back on the horse and start again?
Yeah, I think the biggest the and I, I talked about this luckily with the event that you're at too. One of the biggest things I preach is don't get emotionally connected. The reason I lost the money wasn't because I was being dumb in my ad sets or creating ads. It was because I thought people were engaging with something and I equated that to value, right? People were liking things, people were commenting, people were tagging other people in it, and I was like, oh, lots of engagement. People love this. I'm not gonna cancel this ad. Yet it was just churning through money. And then I would increase the money and the same thing would happen because I became emotionally attached to something and I didn't take the common business need of adapting, right? And rolling with the punches. And so that's the biggest thing is one, don't become emotionally attached. If something fails,
Ex-girlfriend with a picture of a Ferrari. Can you brush up on that story a little bit?
not on a public forum, no.
We'll leave that for another one then. So where do you see Shopify and the, Shopify is getting obviously a lot more popular. I'm in a marketing class. I have all constantly people asking how they can learn and get involved with it. Where do you see the trend and different trends with like marketing wise or?
Yeah, so I think there's a difference between, like, everyone says, oh, it's saturated, it's saturated. Well, if e-commerce and online marketing was saturated, Amazon would be opening new warehouses all the time, right? They wouldn't make up for a majority of sales on both Black Friday every day, but especially Black Friday, Cyber Monday, and around holidays. That being said, the thing that people are going to have to start changing is it's not going to be, let me just sell this random bracelet or this random item. It's going to become more complicated in this. They're going to need to find more unique items to sell. We're going to need to have much more attention-grabbing marketing. So this get yours free or free plus shipping, like that's always going to be there, but it's going to need to be different. The videos, everything's going to need to catch attention, right? We're always being bombarded, and especially now more and more with 4K videos and all these things coming up with things that catch our attention. And so we're going to have to pay extra close attention to all that. And then in addition to that, it's going to come with branding. So branding through great customer experience. Unfortunately, most people have a bad experience, and you're going to read, if you go through an ad on Facebook or Instagram, you see a ton of comments that crap, took forever, shitty product, and the customer or the store never responded to it. They didn't even say anything or try to resolve it. That's stupid. It's creating a brand name for anything that's purchased online. They don't have a great branding system set up to brand themselves, or they don't have their own product line. And that's where it's really going to start shifting, is moving towards great branding, great product line, and great customer service. And those that aren't able to provide that are going to fail miserably. And those that even meet the status quo are going to fail miserably because customers have their walls up now. Where they didn't a few years ago because they're being, again, bombarded by so many of these different types of ads and products that you're definitely gonna have to find a way to stand out amongst the crowd or you are going to end up wasting a lot of money.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. I've heard a lot of people say that's shifting more towards like a brand instead of just a store, and I definitely think that's true. And while we're on the topic of the increasingly amount of people that are joining Shopify and want to learn, what advice would you give to people that, or why do you think most people are failing when they first start with Shopify or Facebook ads?
So I think the first thing again is the emotional attachment that they get. The second thing is they don't have a clear plan. So they'll, for example, even if it's Instagram, if it's Facebook, no matter what it is, they kind of just go in based on some knowledge that they have and they blindly go and execute and they assume it's the right way. If you're going to buy a course, don't just buy one person's course. Buy two people's course and see what overlaps. Or don't buy a course. Go to YouTube, which most of the information is free on YouTube or Udemy or something like that anyways. Not always the best on Udemy, but either way, go to those, see a couple different people, see what overlaps, create a strategic plan from there, and then start playing with things. So that way when something fails, you don't just try doing the exact same method again and fail again. You can go, okay, well, this, I don't want to call it guru, but this teacher didn't do it well. So let me go try this teacher's way. Okay, well that didn't work either. So let me go try this teacher's way, as opposed to trying the same teacher over and over and over again because you spent $1,000 on their course and you think that's the word of God.
Okay, yeah, for sure. There's definitely an abundance of info, especially on Shopify, that I definitely agree. There's so many different methods you can try and so many different people you can follow for that. And then going into more Facebook ads, what are three tips you'd give somebody just when they're either trying to let's not go for the beginner. Let's go for the guy who's more advanced, who's trying to, double down and make a lot more profit with Facebook ads. What are three, insider tips you'd give?
So insider tips would probably be continue to use the 50-50-50 method. 50-50-50 method for me, and other people have adapted it a little bit, is there's a lot of data that you can get with Facebook, and I love data. That's why I use Facebook. That being said, when it comes to evaluating your ad success, I use 50-50-50. So I'm focusing on my pixel objective being view contents. I want 50 of those. Once I get that, I move to add to cart. Once I get 50 of those, I change my pixel objective to purchase. I don't duplicate the ad set. Other people do. That's fine. I don't know. This works for me. The reason I do it that way too is if it fails somewhere in that process, I know where it failed. If it's view content and it fails, I know, hey, people, if it failed on view content, I know I'm targeting the wrong people. If it fails on add to cart, I know the price is wrong or the branding is inconsistent. And if it fails on purchase, it's probably because of shipping, price, trust, or maybe again, the cart process is too long. And so all things you can realize. So that's probably one.
Quarter four is coming up right now. There's Black Friday, there's Halloween, Thanksgiving, Christmas. People are going to spend a lot of money, and this is obviously when most money is made in e-commerce and with most businesses. So how can somebody kill quarter four?
They can kill quarter four by one, starting now. Whether you started, you have a new product that you're going to be launching, or you have something that you think is successful, you need to start now. Start building up your pixel data. Start building up your email list so that way you can start blasting people. The other thing to consider is it's not always about making money. There are going to be times where you are collecting leads, you're collecting data, you're collecting email list people, and it's okay if you're losing a couple bucks. Now, if you have more money to lose, then you might lose it. But for the most part, you got to think a good qualified lead is going to cost anywhere between $1 to $13 anyways if you were purchasing leads. And think about it the same way with Facebook, right? When it comes to holiday time, you can start blasting these folks through emails that they've opted in for, hopefully if you're doing it legally. And you can blast them with these emails. You can run lookalike audiences on the products because you've started doing that now. Maybe you lost a couple bucks now. You're building up that data that you're focused on now. And I think that's probably my biggest thing. And then, of course, continue to test products and use Google Trends to see how those products are performing and how they typically also perform around the holidays, if they're up or down.
Okay, yeah, for sure. So it's kind of like just put an investment forward just to collect the lead and turn and like in exchange for a long-term ROI, right?
Right.
Okay. And the next thing, you talked earlier about the Starbucks kind of analogy. Who cares about spending an extra $5 a day for coffee? Just work harder to get it. At the same time, you also talk a little bit on your Instagram about not spending money on a car. So why have you not spent the money to, buy the Ferrari, buy the McLaren at this point, especially when you are clearing a substantial amount of profit each year?
So it's for me, it's about making sure that the money is being spent in a way that is intelligent, right? So if you want to go buy something, I make more money from it. I don't say like I do save money, of course, but I'm not, oh, I'm going to save up to buy this car. For me, it's I want to buy this car. I need if it's a $300,000 car, I need to find a way to make an extra $300,000 this year to pay for that car. Like that's my mindset going into it. The next piece of it is how do I still stay strategic, right? So every trip that I take, anytime that I travel, it ends up being a tax write-off because I make it into work. When I go to dinner with somebody, if I'm doing something that's leisure, I make it into work, even if the whole thing isn't work, because I want to write that off, right? I want to make sure that that activity is being meeting my time of money. And it's the same thing with exotic cars, right? Everybody knows it's not an asset. It is a depreciatory value that's going to go down the moment you step into it. Forget drive off the lot. The moment you get into that car, the value goes down, basically. And so when you're going to make a purchase like that, which is fine, right? If you're making billions of dollars or whatever the case is, I think sure, go spend what you want to. When you're not, you need to find a way to be smarter about it. And so one of the things that I've been working on, and I just cleared it finally, is having an exotic rental company, as well as a connection with the bank. So that way, when I get a car, it's not just a depreciating value. So now I have an exotic rental company that's purchasing that car, that's able to write off the depreciation. That exotic rental company is going to rent it to my company and myself that I can also write off. So I'm getting a double tax write-off on the exotic car once it's purchased, right? So, but instead of just buying it and then losing money, I now I'm able to basically have the car almost pay for itself and pay me some extra when all my businesses come together at the end of the year for taxes.
That's a crazy loophole. That's unreal. And then
yeah, so it took me a while to get to that, and I have a trip that I might be planning in January that's like a month long, and I don't really need a car for that. So I was just talking to one of my other buddies that's looking at getting a McLaren. That if I did do something like that, it'd probably be about February or March that I'd be looking at.
Josh? Is it Josh?
Yes. Yeah.
So then what would you say is up to this point is your biggest setback or failure that you faced, and like what did you learn from it?
I think one of the biggest failures I ever had was I brought in and another investor, gave up a lot of equity for quick growth with one of my companies. And that investor made a lot of changes that unfortunately they did save costs, but they took away from the value and the branding of the company, and it significantly hurt the company. And I regret doing that every day. I rather, if I could have gone back, I would take an extra 5 years to grow the company than to think, oh, we need an influx of cash and let's just do it quick and take the hit. Because ultimately that's what caused the company to not do so well. And so that's probably the biggest thing. And the next biggest thing is just to always keep an eye on what your goals are and stay aligned. Specifically, you know, I have family. I have family that lives. I have family that dies. I have relationships that live and I have relationships that die. And, you know, unfortunately, that takes a toll on anybody. And sometimes you lose sight of goals and you lose sight of things. So it's being very careful with the relationships that you get in. Biggest accomplishment. You know, I think the biggest accomplishment was selling that first company. Mm-hmm. And not only was it for good money, but it wasn't my preference to sell at the time that I did, but it was, looking back at it, I can say I basically helped build this from nothing. And now it was like this thriving thing that was able to basically give me that dream that we talked about in the beginning of the call, right? Or in the beginning of this interview of why am I taking this risk? How can I make an impact? And what is the reward versus risk factor? And it all paid off, right? Being able to put in the work, the hard work, the hours, all of those things, and being able to see that pay off in a tangible way, not just a, hey, I did this. It's a, hey, here's money. Like I have it. I think that was probably one of the biggest accomplishments, not so much because it was a lot of money, but because I knew what the money represented, and it represented the fact that we grew something from nothing into something huge.
And that almost just ignited the fire and helped you just get to the point where you are right now, huh?
Yeah, exactly. And then you got to give yourself rewards.
For sure. And then who would you say has influenced you the most to become the person you are today? It could be like a family member, friend, or a mentor.
Sadly, I don't think I have an answer for that. You know, there have been many mentors and many people that have helped me over my life. And I don't think there's one person that's helped me the most. You know, it's almost like giving an Emmy speech where you want to thank everybody. My parents are obviously huge, but like my stepmom helped me get into the corporate world and understand how to be successful there, but not so much in the entrepreneurship world. I would turn to like Richard Branson or something for that. But then Richard Branson kind of had weird, like, outgoing ideas of starting an airline. I couldn't afford to start an airline, nor did I know anything about it. So, you know, like that was cool. So I would go to someone else. And so I don't think I really have ever had like a mentor or someone that I specifically look up to. I just try to take pieces of knowledge from every single person I can and use them to motivate me. You know, you even mentioned Josh a little bit earlier. And that's one of the things I love about Josh is regardless of who makes more money, one of the things I love is that I'm able to take ideas off of him and he's able to take ideas off of me. And at the same time, he's what, 19 or 20, 20. I was just there for his birthday, but he's so much younger and it's so great to see someone that's so successful at a young age, because regardless of who makes money. You know, it's funny. It's probably not even a book with knowledge. And I know like everyone gives almost the same books, like How to Win Friends and Influence People and all that stuff. But I actually didn't like that book that much. So I'm a little out there. I think probably the book that helped me the most, even though it wasn't specific knowledge, was actually by Grant Cardone, Be Obsessed or Be Average, read on 2x speed. One, because Grant's already kind of a guy that fires people up, but read on 2x speed, it basically felt like he was yelling at me the whole time. But his story of starting late, and you know, that was something I could identify with, and seeing like the rags to riches and all that stuff. But also just the way he wrote that book in terms of motivation. I mean, that is a book, one of the few books I'll go through and I'll read or listen to excerpts every now and then when I'm feeling down, or if I'm feeling demotivated, I need to pump up. I'll listen to music, or I'll listen to that book, because it just gets me going. And again, it's not filled with hard chalk knowledge of go do this and go do this, but it is something that just motivates me every time I hear it. And I always recommend it to people for that reason, because it just lights the fire to my ass.
Definitely going to add that one to the reading list. So then finally, where can people connect with you and they can get in touch with you?
Yeah, so you can follow me on any social media platform. Facebook I'm not so active on, because I, despite loving Facebook ads, I don't love Facebook that much. But I am, Instagram is a big one, at JetSetConrad, JetSetConrad. You can also follow me on YouTube, same handle, or on Twitter at the exact same handle. And continuing to expand through Periscope, Live V, and all that stuff as we go. Also, all at Jet Set Conrad. Again, the one thing with branding is remain consistent, so I try to keep it easy.
Okay. And then any final words for anybody listening?
You know, I think it's really just go out there and do whatever you want to do. If you want to go to college, don't look at all these entrepreneurs and think, oh, I need to go do that. You know, whatever is going to make you happy. If you feel like you're definitely destined to be an entrepreneur, then start grinding at it. Start researching what it is, some things that you like to do. Test it, especially if you're young, right? It's just like being in.
If you guys like this podcast, make sure to go follow Conrad on Instagram. And he's probably the only person that's on Periscope. So, I mean, go hit him up on there too. Make sure to subscribe, leave a review on the podcast, and we'll catch you guys on the next one.